Praise the Lord. We're blessed. We're blessed. Amen. We're a blessed people. God is good to us. Hey, we have a couple of announcements real quick. We don't usually have Wednesday night announcements much, but guys, it's not too late to jump in on the annual camp out. We call it our men's advance. We wouldn't call it a retreat because that wouldn't be right. We're not running from anything. Amen? And so the men's advance is this Friday. If you've never come to one, you don't know what to expect, but I'm telling you, we have a great time. It's kind of like coming to church, except it's in the woods, right, where the bears live. So, no, not really. But probably wild hogs here and there, but no bears, unfortunately, here. But no, we're going to have a great time. So Friday, show up around 2 o'clock, anytime between noon and 2, guys. Get your bunk set up. 2 o'clock, we start our games, our competitive games. And there is a great prize for the first place winner. These are individual games this year. We've done teamed games before, but this will be individual prize we'll give out for the highest score in several of the unique Olympic-like competition arenas. So it'll be a fun time. We start at 2 o'clock, so get there before 2 so you can get going on the games and get your scores added up. Dinner is at 5:30. We're going to have a great dinner. I got good plans for a really wonderful meal, and then our service will start around 7-ish that evening. So if you're coming out late, don't feel at all left out. We'll be doing activities right up till about 10 o'clock when they close the gate. All right, so guys, come out and join us. If you haven't paid yet, don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. Just come anyways, and we'll take care of that later. March the 8th, we want you to mark your calendars. I don't care. Grandma's not allowed to die on March the 7th. You're not allowed to go to Hawaii on March the 6th. Your job cannot send you away for out-of-town work on March the 5th, because March the 8th, it marks our building dedication here at 105 West Blackstone. It's going to be a very special day for us here. It's a building dedication, but it's not just the building we're dedicating. We're dedicating our lives afresh to the Lord. Amen. And so in this next month, the Lord's given me a series I'll be preaching that I believe helps prepare our hearts for that day. It's about serving the Lord. And so you want to be here in February too. Don't just come March the 8th. Come in the Sundays in February. But March the 8th is a very special day. By the favor of the Lord, we were able to secure an amazing international guest speaker, Evangelist Nathan Morris, will be coming. He's from Britain originally, but now he hails from Florida. As many traveling evangelists do, or traveling ministers, they oftentimes land in a state like Florida where there's a good access to airports that can get out to the world. So, but he'll be with us that morning only, unless the Lord moves so mightily that he cancels his evening plans and stays with us Sunday night, which wouldn't be out of the question in God's kingdom. Amen? So we'll just see what happens. But come expecting, mark your calendars. We don't want you to tell this to everybody. Don't Facebook this in a big, you know, broadcast kind of way, because we won't have enough room for the people that will come, honestly. But anyways, more details on that Sunday. We won't go into too much of that tonight. Also, starting this Sunday, we have a special youth meeting with Brother Ben and Sister Audrey. They're going to be doing a Sunday school class during the first service. During church. This is for the teenagers, right? 12 to 18. This is for like our teenage group. So if you have teenagers or grandkids in that age group, tell them to come this Sunday, because they're gonna go out after the worship and have like a special class, kind of like Sunday school with teenage leaders. You know, leaders that kind of understand teenage lingo. So it'll be great for the teens, 12 to 18. Y'all, you have the option, I should say, to leave the main service during the word here and be a part of that class, and that'll be in the breakout room, I assume. Correct? Yeah. First Sunday of the month, every month. Okay. All right. Okay, very good. All right, very good. Praise the Lord. Well, I've got a good word for you tonight. Are you ready to jump into the word? Yes, you have another announcement. Okay.
Surprise. So we had Brother Lee picked up some chairs for us several years back, and we're going to be getting them ready. They've been in a storage unit. He picked up these, 56 chairs or something. He heard some chairs were available somewhere, and so he went and got his trailer and got them for us. They've been in a storage unit. We have some of them here, but we want them to be available for the upcoming meeting. And so if anybody wants to get with me and clean those chairs, just let me know. We're going to be doing that. So, and then And so, so just get with me on that. We'll be doing that in the next week or so. And then also I talked to these guys over here today, and they have a testimony that they want to share. You know, one thing I love about testimonies is that, God does the same thing for me that he does for you. We're all on the same line. So I love hearing testimonies. It helps my faith. So Jake and Joanna, come and give the testimony.
I don't know if he's going to do that. He doesn't know that command yet.
He can come too. Don't bring him up here. They'll just look at him. So we have a metal fabrication company, and it revolves around one machine in particular, and it's very expensive and about 14 foot long and 6,000 pounds. And it's been down for, let's see, I told you, y'all wouldn't even listen to what God's doing. Y'all are looking at the baby. Yeah. Anyways, without that machine, we really have to turn away work. We can't do much of anything. But it's been down about 2 weeks. Technicians that work on these things are not a dime a dozen. It's a very specific niche. The closest people that work on it are in Georgia. So the best thing we can do is these phone calls that we pay for and try to diagnose it over the phone. So that's what we did. I think it's this. Bought a $2,300 part, overnighted it, did nothing. Sent it back. Went through another diagnostics. Again, bought a $250 part, put it in today, did nothing. So I'm at my wit's end. So the only next option is to bring a technician from Georgia, from this company, to our shop. Well, you have to pay for minimum 8 hours of labor at $170 an hour, hotel, flight, everything. So they quoted $6,300 just to get the guy in our door. Don't really feel like paying that. So the second thing I bought were two flashcards. Plugged them in. This is a big CNC folding machine. I don't know half the stuff that it does in this computer. I put new flashcards in. This machine's from Germany. They don't work, but the machine turns on, and I start going through the diagnostics, trying to look at the parameters. Well, it's all in German, so I don't know German, even though I am German. I don't know it. So I'm talking to the guy on the phone. I'm like, look, it's all in German. I can't follow anything you're saying. I'm taking these out. I'm putting the old ones back in so it'll go back to English. So that's what I did. Went through the startup sequence. Everything worked perfectly fine. With no new parts, no nothing, I plugged in the old flash cards that had been in there since 2008. Everything worked perfectly fine. So I RMA'd that stuff and I'm going to get the money back and fixed our machine. It works actually better now than it did before because I was messing with other things, but ended up costing not a dollar. So, oh, I left out a very important part. I was by myself trying to do this and getting very frustrated, and I was about to spike that $2,300 module on the ground. And then that's when my wife called, and you women are awesome. There's a reason y'all are called helpers and the same name for the Holy Spirit. She called right in the nick of time. Hey, just spoke with Terry. They're praying. Scott's praying. I'm praying. Just want to encourage you. You can do it in Christ. Okay, let me start looking around. And then I ended up disconnecting something, hoping it would work, and it led to a snowball effect. And she's like, we're not paying for that guy to fly out here. So I didn't even tell her. I got home, and she's like, so are we paying to fly him out here? I said, why? Our God's bigger than that. She was like, it worked? And I was like, yeah, of course it worked. So you have anything?
And while I was home, I think you texted me and said, uh-oh, or something. I'm like, oh, no, this is probably not working. And, like, within a few minutes, that's when Pastor Terry called, and I was like, wow. So we talked for a few minutes. She prayed. Pastor Scott was praying. And then that's when I called him. So it was just like God's timing and the Holy Spirit telling Pastor Terry to call me. So it was just a bunch of God, just God this working and God doing this and doing that and just showing up. So it was really cool to just, and how quickly that turnaround happened. So it was awesome.
Excellent. Yeah. I shared with the folks in the prayer meeting earlier that sometimes the enemy tries to bluff us. I believe it's a tactic of Satan. Sometimes he'll make something look like it's broken, so we panic because he knows we're prone to panic. And if you'll just settle down and rest in the Holy Ghost, rest first, right? What did God do? He put man on the earth on which day? The sixth day. So Adam's first technical day of work was the Sabbath day. Think God was trying to send him a message, right? Chill out, rest in me, and then you can be productive in life. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, I want to share a few thoughts with you tonight on healing. Let's pray and we'll get right into the Word of God. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in us. Thank you for your power at work in us who believe and in our companies, the work of our hands. We thank you for all your goodness in Jesus. Thank you for Christ, the wisdom of God, Christ, the power of God. Lord, we just thank you for continuing to demonstrate in so many ways in each of our lives your power, your wisdom in every situation we come in contact with, so that in all things, Lord, you are glorified and we have the victory in everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I heard it said a while back, and I really believe this is true. You should take note of this. There are two main themes in the scriptures that as a Christian on an ongoing basis, we ought to feed on. I bet you can guess at least one of them. Faith is good, yeah. Healing, and the other is prosperity, right? Abundance. Because why? Those are the two areas the enemy attacks us in constantly. Your health, your finances, right? Health, finances. What should you and I feed on an ongoing basis just to keep ourselves strong? You know, you have an immune system that has to be kept strong, right? You do things to keep it strong. You got to rest good, take your basic vitamins, stay a little bit active, keep your blood pumping, et cetera. That keeps your immune system up. In the spirit, we have an immune system, and the enemy is always trying to, you know, look at where he can attack or where he can succeed against us. And it's in one of those two areas, most likely on an ongoing basis, either our health or our finances. Well, I'm going to talk about health tonight, not necessarily finances, but I do want you to take note of that, and that is so true. You can be a Christian. You can say, well, I love God. Yes, that's true. You do love God, and he loves you. But if you're not building yourself up on a regular basis and doing what it takes, right, which is speaking the word, in regard to finances, it would be sowing, trusting, right? Sowing seeds of faith, seeds of generosity, almsgiving, all those things that we sow on a regular basis. We keep our harvest healthy. Amen? And we were in a meeting just a week ago, and we saw some wonderful healings take place. Richard Roberts was ministering. If you'd ever heard the name Oral Roberts, it's just his son. Oral Roberts was a man mightily used of God in the last century, in the early part of the 1900s. And Oral's son, Richard, is now carrying on this ministry of praying for the sick and seeing wonderful healings. While we were in this meeting, we saw people with shoulder mobility issues instantly restored. We saw a man who had tinnitus. Do you know what tinnitus is? It's ringing in the ears. That's a terrible ailment to have constant ringing in your ears. He was instantly healed. We had a man who had gotten in a sword fight with his daughter, and he told her no as she was approaching him with this play sword, and she got right up in his face with it and actually literally poked him in the eye, and it damaged his eye. And he said he had, ever since that, he had floaters in both eyes and a blind spot. Well, the Lord instantly healed the floaters in the meeting, and the blind spot was in process. How many of you know sometimes healing is a process? But in the meeting itself, he was instantly healed of the floaters. If you know what floaters are, those things that, you know, just kind of move around your eyeball and block the view. Not a happy thing. We had people that were healed of kidney issues. Just a wonderful, wonderful expression of the Lord's love and his anointing in healing. It was a wonderful meeting. And I want to share a couple thoughts just briefly with you tonight about to try to demystify the idea of being healed by the Lord. If I can demystify it, not that the anointing, we can't take all the mystery out of it, but we can take some of the, I guess we could pare down some of the religious mystery, if it were, as it were, right? The cut off the fat. How many of you know, we don't need the sacred cow blocking the view, right? So I'm not going to unveil the intense, you know, the complete mysteries of God, as it were, in pertaining to the anointing or to healing. But we're going to take some of the sacred cow stuff out of the way so we're not blocked in our views. Does that make sense? Amen. Well, Jesus ministered in two basic ways when he ministered healing on the earth in his ministry. First way was sovereign, what we would call a sovereign healing. Sovereign. If you understand that idea of sovereign, it means he is the king. He can make his choice. The idea is this, at his will. At his will. And oftentimes we see this in the expression of the gifts of the Spirit. You're in a meeting with an evangelist or a minister, and the gifts of the Spirit start operating. Maybe they call out a word of knowledge for people with, you know, blank. You got foot trouble or you got shoulder trouble, whatever. That's a gift of the Spirit in that moment. When you think, well, that's not me. I don't have that trouble, but I have this other trouble. Well, you can walk away with a sense of, well, God wasn't interested in healing me today, if you're not careful. But that's an act of God's sovereign will. That's when God steps into the room and says, I want to do this today, right? And so Jesus operated in that way. He operated in sovereign acts. Another way that he healed that we see him operating is in the what I call by faith healing. This is where people pulled from the healing power that was within him, but they pulled on it with their faith, right? Not an act of his will, but an act of their faith, their faith. Let me give you an example of number one, talking about sovereign healing. The man born blind in John chapter 9. We won't take time to turn there, but you remember the story. The disciples looked at Jesus. They're walking through town. Everywhere Jesus went, amazing things happened. And they saw a blind man by the side of the road. And they said, Master, who sinned that this man was born blind? You remember the story? And Jesus said, neither him nor his parents, but that the glory of God might be made manifest. And Jesus healed him. That was an act of Jesus's will. That man wasn't there waiting for Jesus to walk by. May have even been unaware. It might have just been one of those divine moments where the two intersected, you know, by God's design. Jesus happened to be right where that guy was at that moment. And his disciples were prompted to ask him the question. But what did he do? He healed the man as an act of his will. We're not told in Scripture that the guy even asked for healing, although obviously he needed it, right? So he didn't ask for healing per se, but Jesus healed the man born blind. Another example is the man at the pool of Bethesda. This is found in John chapter 5. You know the story, the man at the pool of Bethesda. This was a big pool, and you can go to Israel today and see that where that pool is. It's huge. It's like a big Olympic size. It's not a big open pool. It's actually got multiple levels. It's an odd layout the way the archaeological dig is or whatever, but the pool is huge. It's a huge place. And Jesus was walking there. Notice he didn't heal anybody else. The Bible says that a great number of people would surround this pool and lay by the waters. And when the waters were troubled, the chosen, when they presented it, they kind of indicated that was a underwater geyser or whatever, or, you know, like a hot spring. But the King James Version says an angel came down once a year, whichever it was. When the water stirred, the first person into the water was healed. Well, this man was sitting there. He'd been there a long time, and he didn't have anybody to help him into the water whenever it was stirred. But Jesus came up to him. Nobody else, just that one man. The Bible says he learned that that man had been there a long time, and he healed him, right? So that was a sovereign act. That was a choice of Jesus to go to that place, but single out that one man and heal him. You see that? Sovereign. Say sovereign. Jesus' will involved. Now let's talk about the second type of healing by faith. We have two examples in the Gospels, and both of those happen to be ladies. All right, so this is a big plus, a big hurrah for the ladies. One was the woman with the issue of blood. In fact, when she got healed, Jesus didn't even know it. It was so much not a part of his plan, his will. He was on his way to heal someone else, in fact, wasn't he, at that moment? Yeah. And the woman with the issue of blood came up behind Jesus. She had a hemorrhaging situation. That's horrible to think you'd live life and your blood is literally escaping your body on a regular basis. It's like you're slowly dying. She came up to him, touched the hem of his garment, and by her faith, say by her faith, by her faith, not Jesus's will, she pulled healing out of the master. And the good news for you and I is that that type of healing is available 24/7, 7 days a week for you and I anytime we need it. Amen. That kind of healing, say, by faith, by faith. And the other woman that we have as an example is the Syrophoenician woman. It's not an easy word to spell. Just put the woman from the north. Because if you look on the map, north of Israel is a place called Tyre and Sidon. It's up there near Syria, right? And she was from that area. And Jesus, it's interesting, when you look at the backstory behind that healing, it says he went to that town. And it's as if he hid himself. It was one of the rare moments Jesus went somewhere and the whole town didn't know it. But he was in a house, and it's like he just waited for her to show up. Now, somehow word got out, at least to that woman, that Jesus was in town, because the Bible says she came to him where he was. But the whole town wasn't there. It sounded like, from the story, it was just her. And you know the story? She came to him. She was a Phoenician woman, which meant she was a Canaanite. Bible scholars say that she was a Canaanite, which the implication there is that she worshiped demons. Her daughter was demon-possessed. Terrible, terrible thing to have a daughter who's suffering torment. You know, as a parent, when your kids are suffering, you're suffering, right? And I think as a parent, you feel it more than they do. It feels more tormenting. And Jesus came, this woman came to Jesus, said, Master, you know, first she started off talking as if she were a Jew. Jesus, son of David, right? It's like she was using the lingo as if she were a Jew. And Jesus read right through it. He knew she wasn't Jewish. And here was the thing. Jesus was here at a particular period in biblical history when he was only supposed to be healing Jews, primarily Jews, right? Because he was showing his signs and wonders to the Jewish people first. They were God's covenant people. This woman was outside that covenant. She was from the north. She was from outside of the promises. You know, that's how you and I were when we found Jesus. Paul said in his writing to the Ephesians, he says, before you found Christ, you were outside the covenant. So we can really relate to this lady. And here's a beautiful thing. She pulled so strong with her faith. Say, by faith. She pulled so strong with her faith, she actually upped God's timetable, if you will. It wasn't time for the Gentiles to be healed. It was time for the Jews to receive of the healing bread of Jesus. And he used the analogy, you've heard the story, where he said, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. In a sense, he was grouping us as dogs. Woof, us Gentiles, right? We were outside the covenant of the Jewish relationship between God and his people. But the woman quickly drew from the analogy, and she what? She just wouldn't let go. Let me tell you something, believer. If you just won't let go, good things will come to you. A lot of people say, well, I tried that healing thing and it didn't work for me. You know, or I knew so-and-so, they tried such and such and it didn't work for them. It will work for you if you don't let go. And she showed us that. She said, Master, that's true what you just said, but even the dogs, the puppies, enjoy the crumbs from the table, from the children's bread. And Jesus was just so impressed with her faith. He said, woman, so great is your faith. Your faith is great. Say, my faith is great. That's what he said to her. He said, you, woman, your faith is great. And she went home and her daughter was healed. Praise the Lord. Jesus still works both ways. He still works sovereignly at his will. And he works by faith. Say, by faith. And that's by our will. Say, my will. When you're believing God for something, that's you believing, right? That's an act of your will. That's not you sitting back and saying, I'm going to wait for God to move, or I'm going to go to this church service over here, and then there's another traveling minister. He's going to be at this service over here, so I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to go over here. Nothing wrong with trying to follow the anointing. I get it. People are thirsty for a move of God like we were experiencing tonight. But it's not about you chasing the anointing and hoping that while you're in that service, God sovereignly heals you. You can reach out with your faith right where you're at any moment and draw from the Master's healing power. Amen. Just like those two women I mentioned. I love this analogy. Pastor Mark Brzee draws this analogy talking about these two ideas, the sovereign anointing of God and receiving by faith. He says, the sovereign anointing is like lightning. I think that's a great comparison. Like lightning. Lightning strikes here and there, but not everywhere, right? Aren't you glad? I was in a thunderstorm one night coming home from Houston when I was still in the piano business years ago. And I've never been in a storm as bad, and I hope I never will. I've got the t-shirt. I've been in the worst thunderstorm ever, I'm sure. And it was like, I counted, it was like every 3 to 5 seconds, there was a flash of light. And not just a little, you know, lightning bolt, but the whole sky lit up. I mean, it was blinding as a driver. It was you know, hard rain and just flash, flash, flash. It was like being hit by the paparazzi, you know, constantly. But sovereign anointing is like lightning. It strikes now and then. Say now and then. But receiving by faith is like electricity. Electricity. Electricity, once it's wired to a building, a house, a tool shed, etc., it what? It flows freely. On demand, you might say, right? If you're taking notes, write that phrase. On demand. The healing power of Jesus flows on demand by faith anytime, just like electricity. Aren't you glad? Let's look over at Mark 9 and 35. This verse sums up that idea really well. Mark 9. My daughter ran into my Bible trap. My mom, when I was a kid growing up, had all kinds of pages of notes that would be stuck in her Bible. I've just followed suit naturally. So when my daughter picked up my Bible a while ago to read out of it, of course, the trap sprung and the papers fell out everywhere. Mark 9:35. What did Jesus do as an example? Is that right? Mark 9. Do I have that right? I'm sorry, Matthew. Matthew, I was testing you. Matthew 9:35. This is how Jesus often healed in the Gospels. And it's a much overlooked way because it's not as glamorous as the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, it's pretty amazing. If you walk into, you're seated in a room and there's water bottles all around and you're in a room with thousands of people and the guest minister on this stage, you know, looks at you way out in the audience and says, "You, God wants to heal you tonight." Well, that's pretty exciting, isn't it? It's not near as exciting to come to church week after week and hear the word consistently taught and preached and your faith slowly rise to the point that you can just reach out and receive a healing. That's not as near as exciting, is it? But listen, it's legit. It's legit. Look at Matthew 9:35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages. Here's what he did. Teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and what? Healing every disease and every sickness. Healing, preaching, teaching, healing. Say preaching, teaching, healing. Or teaching, preaching, healing. But the end result is healing. When you hear the word taught, when you hear the word preached, your faith will rise. And what will happen is you will naturally be free to reach out. And just like that electricity analogy, you can just flip the switch. Amen. By an act of your will, say my will. By your will, you can take healing for yourself. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad? Now, if you're taking notes, please write this down. This is profound. It's not my original quote. It's not from me, but it's so good, and it is such a profound truth. You need to hear this tonight, and I want our church to be established, well established on this biblical truth, and it's this. Jesus healed everyone who ever came to him in faith. That is a factual statement. You cannot find scripture to deny me that truth. I mean, you can't contradict that. I know the Gospels well enough. I don't have them memorized, but I know them well enough to know that is a true statement. Jesus healed everyone who ever came to him in faith. In other words, he never turned anyone down and said, "It's not God's will to heal you because of this." Not once. Everyone who ever came to Jesus in faith, say everyone. Everyone who ever came to him in faith was healed. What does that tell us today? It's not a question of will he heal, but it's a question of will you come? Yeah. The question is not will he heal, it's will you come? Will you come believing? Amen? When you come believing, you must know, and you can verify this. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John if you think I've missed something there. You can read it for yourself, but you won't find one instance in the four Gospels where anyone who came to Jesus in faith, believing that he could do and would do for them. Now, we have one example of the leper, right? He came to Jesus. He said, "I know you can if you are willing." So he was a little questioning on the willing, but he had at least enough motivation to get there, to get to the feet of Jesus, right? Which was bold in itself, because by being out in public, by even being near another human, he was risking his life. They could have stoned him on the spot for even coming near Jesus. He must have had something in the back of his mind, even though he was doubtful. He said, I know you can, if you are willing. So there must have been even a little bit of faith leaning toward, I think he might be willing, right? To risk his life. And what did Jesus say? I will. Be thou clean, right? He answered the question once and for all. For anybody who comes, he wills. Amen. Now I'm going to wrap up with this idea here. Ministers globally preach. I mean, ministers from all different denominational backgrounds, they preach all over the globe this idea that whosoever will, say whosoever will, may be saved. But when it comes to healing, many of them will back up and say, well, God's able, but he's not always willing to heal. So what happened to the whosoever will there? The truth is, if God is willing to heal whosoever will believe on, save whosoever will believe on him, God is willing to heal whosoever will believe on him. Amen? Whosoever will. Say whosoever will. It's whosoever will, period. And we must be settled in that. Healing is a battle sometimes, is it not? Have you found that to be the case? Now, sovereign healings come easily. My wife years ago was healed of motion sickness sovereignly. We're not even sure when it happened, except that when we took this long trip to Florida, actually it was a reasonable length trip to Florida. We usually drive it in a day. But that particular year, the traffic was so bad, it took us about 2 or 3 extra hours beyond our normal drive time to get to where we were going. And she realized at the end of the trip, she goes, I didn't get car sick. That's unusual. And then a while later, we went on a trip to Israel. And, you know, at first we got there and they drove you, sent a bus to this one place, and that was fine. But then we went from that place to up in the mountains. And how many of you know, if you ever traverse mountains, it's not just going straight up one road. You have to go, you know, winding, right? So that was a real test of, was she healed? And she absolutely was. My daughter, I'm not sure what happened to this day, but Rachel had a terrible milk allergy since she was a toddler. And we discovered it by the time she got in kindergarten. We were having all kinds of issues with her teacher with behavior problems. We knew, well, it's not her personality. She's not a troublemaker. It must have been something, you know. And we finally figured it out. It was a milk allergy. Well, milk's in everything. My goodness, you pick up, you know, most ingredients got milk in there somewhere, or whey powder or something, you know, related to dairy. But, you know, so it really limited during her childhood her ability to enjoy food. How many of you know, as Christians, what's one of the few things we can enjoy, and there's no sin in it as long as we don't overdo it, right? So eating is a gift from God. And years ago, I believe sometimes, you know, we're just in the presence of Jesus, just worshiping. Sometimes just being in church, the anointing will hit you and you'll walk out of here healed. You don't realize it till a while later. You realize, oh, those symptoms are gone, right? Wasn't there something you told me about just the other day that was it you or somebody else that just recently got healed by the presence of God, and they realized it? If you think of it, weigh me down. I'll be here just a bit longer. Anyways, but you know, in the presence of God, so many times people are healed. My daughter was just healed. I believe it was in the Lord's presence. She wasn't leading worship in the church at that time, but she was in the church services on a regular basis. But in the presence of God, somehow Rachel got totally healed. And boy, the next vacation we took, she was eating donuts and pizza and everything with milk all over it. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. But, you know, those kind of acts of sovereign healing, they come easily. But the by faith kind are a fight. I'll just tell you, they're a fight. And many times, honestly, people get weary. People get weary in the fight. How many of you ever been there? You ever had something long term that just doesn't seem to be, you know, it's not, the mountain's not moving. It appears so. Hey, stay in the game. Don't give up. Be inspired tonight by the Syrophoenician woman. She did not give up with Jesus. She said, I'm getting my daughter healed of this demon no matter what it takes. And you know what's interesting about that story to me too? I've never heard a preacher point this out, but I saw it when I read the scriptures. After that healing, when Jesus told her, you know, for this saying you may go, your daughter is healed, and she left and went home, found her daughter delivered. It says that Jesus left there and went back to Galilee. It's as if he went all the way north of Israel up to this town just for her. Isn't that amazing? I mean, Jesus will go out of the way. He will go out of his way. That just shows his heart. Amen. He is for us. He wants to heal us. He is so ready to give his healing power to us. And you know, since the cross, there's no more even hesitation. Jesus will never say that to anybody else again. Do you realize that? He'll never say, well, it's not right to cast the children's bread to the dogs. He'll never say that to you or I. Because this is a Jew and Gentile thing now. It's open to all of humanity. Amen. Whosoever will. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll close with this thought. God never promised anywhere in his scriptures that a sovereign gift of the Holy Spirit would always come and meet us at our point of need. Gifts of healing, word of knowledge, those kind of gifts. He never promised that those would come whenever we need it. But he did say this, whosoever will. And he expects us not to sit around and wait for the gifts of the Spirit to heal us, though it's wonderful when they do. Amen. I mean, it's glorious when they do. But he does expect us to believe him. He does expect us to come to him in faith. He expects believers to believe, right? I mean, half of our name of our church is believers, right? We are those who believe. Amen. And I'm just encouraged that we can take these promises in the Word of God and in the atonement. When we say the word atonement, we're referring to what happened at Calvary. Jesus healed all of humanity at Calvary. That's the spiritual truth. Jesus, just as much as Jesus forgave, or through Jesus, God forgave all of humanity through his blood, amen, at Calvary. In the same way, God healed all humanity at the cross through the stripes of Jesus, amen. That's what we call the atonement. If you believe that, that is a done deal. It's an accomplished reality in Christ, and it's available to us if we'll believe, amen. Just close with these words in Matthew 15:28. You're already in Matthew. Just flip over a couple chapters. Let's put our eyes on it together. Matthew 15:28. When Jesus healed the woman with the issue of blood, look at these words. Remember, she like the leper, she also took her life into her own hands, because with that hemorrhaging condition she had, it was also in the Old Testament laws that you could not come in public with that kind of condition in your body. You would be stoned. And so Jesus knew this woman had risked everything to come to him. And he says in 28 of Matthew 15, then Jesus answered and said unto her, oh, I'm sorry. This is not the woman with the issue of the blood. This is the Syrophoenician woman. But it's okay. It's relevant. O woman, great is thy faith. Amen. This is the woman that persisted on behalf of her daughter. Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that hour. But here's the statement I want you to see. Great is your faith. We'll put it in New King James, right? Great is your faith. Say that. Great is my faith. Let's say it first person. Great is my faith. You know, many times we tend to think about our faith as being maybe less than. Our faith is unable to quite get it. But you know, your faith is great because you're willing to back it with your determination to not let go. That's what makes great faith. Amen. That's what the Syrophoenician woman had. She had a faith that wouldn't let go. It's not so much that you've got this great faith that, you know, says, I can believe for orange paint to come spewing out of that wall right through the sheetrock. You know, it's not that your faith is great because you can believe God for weird and bizarre things. Your faith is great because you won't let go. Amen. That's what makes great faith. And that encourages me, because I can take what little seed of faith I feel like I have, but as long as I put my determination behind it and say, I won't let go, that's great faith. Amen. Let's stand together. So we've gone a little bit long tonight, but I don't want to finish a word like this without giving you an opportunity to be prayed for. If you have a condition in your body, maybe it's been something long term and you've been pressing in. The anointing, what I shared tonight is not to at all belittle sovereign acts of God. Those are amazing. When the anointing just touches somebody, right? Even if their faith is not perfected yet, or their faith's not mature enough yet to really reach out and grab a hold of it of their own strength. When the anointing is present and God just does it, say does it. It's wonderful. Amen. So it's not, what I shared tonight is not to belittle it. It's to bring us into balance, to where we're not always depending on these lightning strikes from God to bring us healing. Amen. So if you've got a faith tonight that says, I won't let go, and maybe this condition's been in your body for a while, and you just say, I want to reach out to Jesus and receive tonight. Yeah, Alan, if you'll just put some Apple Music on for me for a few minutes. I'm just going to pray for anybody here. I'm just going to lay hands on you. Not going to take a long time, but I do want to follow this word up with prayer. If you need healing in your body, you have something that's been prolonged or anything at all, that maybe it's just popped up in the last couple of days, I want to pray for you and lay hands on you and just agree, amen, in accordance with the word of God, that whosoever will, is that you tonight? I'm a whosoever will. How about you? Because I believe in Jesus, I'm saved, and I know that anytime my body shows symptoms of sickness, I'm a whosoever will. I can reach out with my faith, and I can be healed. No, the iTunes, the prayer music, please. Thanks. All right, just lift your hands right there where you're at. Nothing special about me. I'm just the pastor, right? But my faith is up tonight because this word is fresh in my heart. I'm going to lay my hands on you. I don't need to know your condition. I don't want to know it because it might mess with my faith. I want my faith to be strong. So I'm just going to lay hands on you as I go past you. Just receive, say in your heart, I believe I receive. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's stretch out your hands this way, saints. If you're just praying the Spirit, let's fill this room with an atmosphere of faith tonight. Lord, for your healing touch in Logan tonight. In Jesus' name, the completion of what you begun. Satan, you loose him. You have no right to him and no claim to him in Jesus' name. No claim to his body. No claim to hold sickness on him. Loose him now in Jesus' name and let him go. Thank you, Father, for your healing touch on Janice. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just agree for this person tonight, Lord, that needs your healing touch. What's that? A brain tumor? All right. We thank you, Father. Your brain tumors are nothing for you. They're a molehill that's easy to move in you, Jesus. And we just thank you right now for the brain tumor to dissipate, to dissolve, and the doctors to be astounded at the miracle power of Jesus. We declare the name of Jesus over this individual tonight. In Jesus' name, be healed and be delivered. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your healing touch in Valerie, Lord. Thank you for your power released in her who believes. Lord, whatever long-term condition, whatever short-term condition, in Jesus' name, be healed tonight. Be whole. Be made whole in the name of Jesus. Be released from your sickness, from your disease in Jesus' name. Be healed of all infirmity. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for the release of your power in Kathy tonight. Thank you for your healing, your wholeness. In Jesus' name, just say, I receive in Jesus' name, healing right now. Thank you, Lord. Renewal of youth, Lord, and bodily healing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your healing touch upon Rose tonight. In Jesus' name, your blessing upon her, your peace be hers, your restoration, Lord, your redemption, full redemption, the scripture says, in you is full redemption. And so, Lord, we receive that tonight, full redemption. Every part. We claim every part as yours. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Yes. And every part of her body now belongs to you, Jesus. I call it whole in Jesus' name, healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your healing touch upon Jane, Lord. Strength, renewal, full redemption. Strength, Lord. Thank you, Father, for renewal in Jane's life. Thank you for the power that raised Jesus from the dead, active now. In Jesus' name, I release that power from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. The power of Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus Christ, to bring full life in every part of her being, every cell. Respond to that life now in Jesus' name. Be filled with life. Come alive in Jesus' name. Be quickened in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for touching Miss Faye tonight, Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we just haven't heard this word enough, but we're becoming convinced that Jesus, just as he offered salvation, forgiveness to whosoever will, he offers his healing to whosoever will. Amen. Be healed tonight and take it any day you need it. Just listen, let us learn from the aggression of these women that said, I will not let it go. I will not let this man go. You know, that took guts. You know, if we had a guest speaker, you know, when Evangelist Nathan Morris comes here next month, you'll see he's a fiery guy. And you'd be a gutsy person to take him aside and say, I'm not letting you go till you do such and such for me. That takes a lot of guts. Well, this wasn't just a confident guest speaker. This woman did this too. This was the Son of God. But she said, I'm not letting him go till my daughter's healed. Amen. So don't let go of what's yours. Be persistent. Amen. Take it by force. The Bible says the kingdom of God suffers violent by those who take it by force. Take your healing in Jesus. God has offered it to us. It's now on the table. Just receive it. Amen. Be blessed with good health this week. Amen. Be blessed in every way. And guys, we'll see you Friday. Come out no later than 2. We'll have a great time. We'll see you then. Bless you.